Welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. Fresh ideas for today's construction professional. The Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech, remote monitoring technologies. Find us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com.
Hello everybody, my name is Cesar Abade and I am your construction camera specialist. This is the 25th episode of the Construction Industry Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you navigate the waters of the construction industry. Whether you're starting your career, have been in the trenches for years, or if you're a construction project owner or construction business owner, this show is for you. Today, I have a great conversation with Deborah Inwald from Works in Progress Associates. She'll explain to me how to decide which type of construction contract or delivery method is best based on the particularities of your project. Wow. It's been a few weeks since my last episode, to put it mildly, and I want to say right from the get-go that I really apologize. And believe me, it's not for lack of content, because there's tons of things lined up for me to bring to you here in the podcast. But I've just been so busy that I really haven't been able to make the time to produce the shows on a weekly basis that I like to do. And it was so bad that one of you even wrote to me to check and see if I was okay. So, wow. Hopefully now we'll be back on track and back to our weekly scheduled episode release. Can you see how I have some great listeners out there? Yeah, you guys are great. Thank you. And really, speaking of listeners, I just want to also say thank you, because in the last few episodes, if you've been listening, I asked if you wouldn't mind leaving me a review on iTunes. And I just noticed yesterday that there are a few reviews there. So thank you. It really means a lot to me and to get some feedback, and it really helps the show climb the ranks in iTunes. So, and when that happens, then more people will find it. So thank you. So if you left me a review there, it's kind of hard to know who you are, because of the names are kind of hidden. But thank you. And if you're planning on leaving me a review there, thank you in advance. Now, of course, the bright side of the podcast being late because I've been busy is the fact that I'm being busy, because usually this means there's more business for me, which is the case. And I have to say that 2011 was not our greatest year. But 2012 is looking way better. And really, it's only July. So I'm really optimistic that this year is going to be a lot better than last year for us. And there are some exciting new projects in the pipeline for us. And I really hope to be able to share some of the details with you here on the show. As you can imagine, some of the projects that we get hired to monitor with our cameras require confidentiality agreements between us and the client. So a lot of times I can't really disclose, which is a shame, because some of these projects are so great. But as I said, hopefully some of the new ones I will be able to share here with you some of the details, and perhaps even a live feed or two for you to watch, because I know you like the live feeds. And speaking of live feeds, we are currently monitoring and recording the construction of a quote-unquote green home here in London, Ontario, Canada. And this is a really cool project. It's basically a home in a new subdivision here that is being built with recycled materials, high-performance windows, and water-conserving plumbing, and a bunch of other green features. But the coolest part is that labor and materials for this project are being donated by members of the London Home Builders Association, which is the organization who is heading this project. And the proceeds from the sale of this home will be used to build a garden here in town in honor of cancer survivors. So it's almost like a charity project for this cancer survivors garden. And this is an issue that's really close to my heart, because my father, who is the director here at Raymond Tech, is really a cancer survivor, big time. And I lost a sister-in-law before I even met her to breast cancer a few years ago. So needless to say, this is a topic that's kind of close to our hearts here. And we are helping this project by providing the live feed and the time-lapse recording. So this project will be documented forever. And you can check out the feed that we're providing there at http://. You can go to remontech.com/LHBA, which stands for London Home Builders Association. So remontech.com/LHBA, and I'll have a link to this on the show notes for today's episode. Now, moving on. A few episodes back, I talked to Cote Fournier on the topic of women in construction. You might remember that. I think it was episode 22. And this is probably one of my most popular episodes. It really resonated with a lot of people out there. Get a lot of comments and feedback on that particular episode. And I shared it with Kristen Dispenza from Buildipedia.com, who was also a guest on the podcast back on episode 14. And she enjoyed it. And she shared with me an excellent article that they ran on Buildipedia. And I wanted to share that article here with you. Buildipedia interviewed a lady named Beverly Willis from the Beverly Willis Architecture Foundation. Now, Ms. Willis started this foundation after being a woman in construction for 50 years. 50 years in the construction sector. And it's a great interview, and I recommend you check it out. And some of the highlights of her foundation and the foundation's work are an annual lecture series. It's called Women of Architecture. That's done in partnership with the National Building Museum during Women's History Month. And also, they produced a movie, a film called A Girl is a Fellow Here, 100 Women Architects in the Studio of Frank Lloyd Wright. And this movie premiered at the Guggenheim's 50th anniversary celebration in 2009. So for a link to this article, which I really recommend, you can visit the same link that I just mentioned here, remontech.com/episode25, which are the show notes for today's episode. And you can look under the links there. You'll find the link to that article there. Look for a Buildipedia link or something along those lines. Now, on to today's segment. Deborah Inwald began her career as an architect in nationally known architectural firms and then as a project manager in the courthouse unit for the City of New York at the DDC. Taking what she learned for her civic work, she chose to bring her construction management experience directly to institutions and agencies. She found that they work hard to obtain the necessary funding and do not always have the in-house expertise to manage the projects. And I agree with that from my own experience. However, as she experienced firsthand by being a member of that team, there was great room for improvement and expert decisions to be had on judiciously spending the granted funds. She founded WPA, which stands for Works in Progress Associates, with a commitment as the client's representative to being the eyes and ears to their clients, to protect and maintain a cost-effect plan and control spending, schedule, and quality of work delivered that meet with their programmatic needs. WPA maintains impartiality and unwavering commitment to the project's success. Deborah spoke with me from her office in Manhattan. Enjoy.
And now, our feature segment.
Deborah, thank you so much for being on the Construction Industry Podcast. How are you doing tonight?
Very good. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Where's your office? Are you in the office?
I am in the office. It is after 7 and after 8. Uh-huh. And I am in my office in New York City.
Nice. You know, I was supposed to have been there last week or 2 weeks ago. There was a blogging podcasting conference, but I just couldn't find the time to do it. A lot of my friends went and they had a great time there. So next year.
I'll meet you then.
All right. We'll have some coffee.
That sounds good. But okay. It's coffee here. We say coffee.
The coffee, that's right. Yeah. And a friend of mine went to Cat's Deli, I think it's called, where they filmed When Harry Met Sally.
It's a good tourist spot. It's wonderful food.
He had a burger. Can you believe it?
No. What a mistake. I went with a cousin, and he had a corned beef sandwich for the meal and a corned beef sandwich for dessert. I couldn't believe he could move afterward.
Well, I need to give you a call before I go, so I make sure to hit the right spots. Okay. Now, Deborah, before we start, can you give us just maybe a brief overview on your company and on yourself? Like, where do you come from in the industry, and what's your passion about construction?
Very good. I am an architect by training and worked for years as an architect, then worked in for the city of New York doing courthouse renovation, and realized that there were a lot of nonprofits out there who work very hard to raise their funding, and they don't really know how to spend it well. So I decided I really wanted to dedicate my firm to working for governmental and institutional agencies and a lot of smaller nonprofits as well to help them make the right decisions on how to, first of all, think about their construction or their project or their facilities and then execute it well. And the thing about all of these organizations is they receive tax, you know, they tax abatement, they're a nonprofit, and therefore it's a civic duty to spend the money well. And so we're there to help make sure they do that.
Perfect. And this is the reason why I chose you and your company to help me with this topic today. It seems like it's right up your alley and you know what you're doing there. Now, we here at our company, Remontech, we get on board projects after they've started, or at least after the contracts were awarded. Okay, so I'm not ashamed to say that I know very little about the topic. Now, the thing is, I was recently at a conference for construction owners. And if you listen to a couple of episodes back, I dedicated that episode entirely to it. And the question there was asked about how to best choose the type of contract. This was, I believe it was a university who was about to start a new project. And the person in the, I think it was a physical plant department, maybe. The person was asking that question. So I realized that maybe I'm not the only one who needed more information. So can you give us maybe a brief overview and perhaps followed by some of the types of construction contracts or delivery methods, or even better, what do we need to think about first before we even get to that point?
That's an excellent question. And that is the most important thing. You need to understand what your project is and what it encompasses. If it's a simple, pick two projects at the opposite end of the spectrum.
Okay.
One is the building in a field with nothing around it, nothing to slow up construction. The other is in the middle of an urban campus where there's the floors above and the floors below are occupied. They have totally different levels of complexity. They have different levels of issues that have to do with phasing and construction. And a lot of those will also help you lead to which direction of a construction delivery method that you're going to go with. But most importantly is before you get started, you really have to understand what the risks are in a project, how complex it is. Is there specialized equipment involved? Do you have the knowledge in-house and the expertise to manage those things? Because to say one method is better than another, delivery system is better, a lot of it depends on what the project is and who is managing the process. So that sort of gives you the first questions you need to do. And the primary thing everyone talks about when they talk about design and construction is it's a three-legged stool. It's cost, it's budget, and it's schedule. And there's also quality, the quality of design that you want. So if schedule is the most important thing driving it, it may lead you to do a different construction method versus if you really want this as something that's going to last 400 years and it's a monument to someone, you may make different decisions. Mm-hmm. So complexity can add up to as much as 30% to the cost of your construction depending on what your issues are. Another issue that comes up is how is your project funded? It may dictate how you do the work as well. You may have to track funding separately if it's a public or a public-private partnership. But in general, there are several methods of construction. There's the general contractor contract, which means you hire one person called the general contractor, and he holds the contracts for the subcontractors. And the subcontractors are people like mechanical, electrical, or plumbing specialists, or civil. That's the general contractor. Another one is guarantee, and you can add guaranteed maximum price onto any of the ones I'm going to mention, so I'll come back to that in a second. And the other is construction manager at risk. And that means that they are holding the contract themselves, the construction manager. Usually they're on board early from the design, so they can help look for risks in advance. And that can give you a potential advantage of a savings of somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10% in change orders that might occur later on. The disadvantage is if they're really not construction managers who are engaged in evaluating the design, they can just be simply paper pushers, and it will result in no savings to you.
I see.
And another delivery system is design build, and that is where you hire the architect and the contractor kind of as they come on board together, and they're part of the team. And they say for one price, we will provide you the design and the construction. And that takes away, the disadvantage to that is it takes away the client's control over the quality of design and decision. Because if budget has to be met, they're not in the position to say, I still want this nicer finish. They have to, they cede the control to the design build team. And a lot of these different systems or options, there's also ones in New York, which is maybe unique here, and that is called Wicks Law. And Wicks Law requires that the there's a general contractor, and then you can have up to 10 other contractors. But each one of, like, the mechanical, the electrical, the plumbing, they each hold a contract with the city agency, which means the general contractor has no control. They can't say, I want you to come in today. They can try and get them to come in, but they're not being held to it, and the city has a little less control over that. The advantage of that is it really, the intent is to level the playing field and bring in people who wouldn't normally get a chance to work on a project because they're being evaluated on their abilities alone, and it's not like a general contractor says, "Well, I always use firm A." This allows things to open up. Again, the disadvantage is a lot of times it can cost more. The schedule is very hard to control. And a lot of times, it adds another level of complexity. I'm sorry.
No.
Go ahead.
You mentioned schedule, so that that generated another question in my mind. Let's say for a construction owner who has decided on one of these types of contracts, who should they have a schedule, like a higher level, you know, milestone chart, or should they just leave that in to the contractor or to the architect?
Well, the informed client always goes out for opinions on, there's everyone out there who's willing to help you give opinions on what things should take. So there are so many resources out there to find out durations, typical durations for the kind of work. So you want to have a sense of that schedule, and it really is good to have someone on board who's been through the process, whether it's someone you hire for a specific project or an in-house team. You need to really evaluate what the project is. But we've seen even tiny projects have huge savings just because of bringing the right people to evaluate it. You have to think of the idea of someone who writes a book. How often is a book written where it's not edited by anyone else? You need to have someone else with another pair of eyes looking at it. And frequently this person's role, this manager from in-house of the client or an owner's representative, if you engage someone like that, they are impartial to the decisions of the contractor and the architect. Their goal is always what is best for the client's best interest. And sometimes you really have to say, look, We can get a little bit more in the design, but we have to sacrifice a little bit in the schedule. And the in-house client needs to make the decision, it is worth that extra time or that extra money. Mm-hmm. Or if it's not doable, where the budget has no flexibility, then you have to be able to understand you can't have all the design aspects you've been, your scope may change. Mm-hmm. You may have to reconsider. Mm-hmm.
So correct me if I'm wrong then. So the best approach then is to understand your project, first of all. Understand the constraints, understand the risks and how it's funded, things that are unique to each project, right? And then make sure that you have the knowledge in-house to make sense of all this information, and then select the best type of method.
And the most, you're absolutely right, that's said more succinctly than I did. But the best thing is really to make sure when you're writing the scope of work or you're writing a request for proposal from contractors or from your architects even to start with, you've clearly defined what the goals of the project are, what the priorities are. Because if those documents, those are the only things you have to protect you throughout the process, and there is enormous room for surprises, shall we say, or you know, if you might get a whole bunch of low bids back because the drawings weren't really complete enough, mm-hmm. and everybody realizing they're going to make all their money in change orders, so that your documents have to be complete, your contracts have to be tight, and you have to really start thinking about the first day you start construction, you have to think about closing out the project. So you're already working on punch list. And the other really important thing is, so many times owners will say, well, we'll do the furniture later. We don't have the money for it now. Mm-hmm. A lot of the furniture is specific sizes, won't fit later, may have electrical requirements or light requirements. We've even worked on a project where they were computerizing a whole classroom for school, and they put the conduit in too close together, and there was interference that happened. So it costs, so it takes, it's so much easier to make changes and corrections in schematic design than when you wait and you let things happen when you're moving in. The rule of thumb is it costs, a dollar for a change in schematic design. It costs $10 in construction documents. It costs $1,000 when you start construction, and afterwards it's $10,000 a change in magnitude of scale.
Yeah.
So it's very important to have the knowledge you need to evaluate these legal documents that you're receiving from the architect and the contractor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we help mostly owners, right? That's mostly who our clients are, and right. Sometimes we get the feeling that everybody's out to get them. They're the only parties interested in delivering this on time and on budget. You know, everybody else is trying to find a loophole for a change order or something.
Right.
So a well-informed owner or helped, I guess the word would be, owner, that's probably the best insurance you can have, right?
It is. And what's really interesting, we found in almost every instance, when the architect and the contractor disagree mm-hmm. on an issue. They're kind of like two kids looking at a dad. You know, who's right? Whoever is wrong, gets more money.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, anytime there's any kind of a discord or disagreement or the premise wasn't understood well to begin with or the drawings, it's always going to cost the owner more.
Yeah.
So it really is important to have the communications, have the end goal really in mind as a team, and make sure that everyone understands the project really is the goal.
Okay. Do you help projects that way, you and your company?
Yes, we do. We do. We get involved. We'll come in at any point, but we'll get involved and make sure everybody really understands what the issues are and make sure that they've defined it well. A lot of times we will find that owners... It depends on who they are, but a lot of times they don't really understand the limitations of the design itself, and so they don't even understand what they're going to be getting later. So And so a lot of times we're there to review the design and say, look, if you move this here and change that, you'll have flexibility for the future. So we're there when they're doing the space programming with the architect. We help write the scope before they hire the architect, and we're there to help them write the RFP to get the contractors and go through the bidding and awarding process. Negotiating is really important.
Wow.
It's critical. And it's a lot of fun, too. The whole thing is a lot of fun.
I can tell that you like it.
Thank you. Caught me.
Yeah. Well, Deborah, this is, when I proposed this topic, I thought I was going to be giving just a list of types of contract with some criteria on how to choose it. And what you're telling me, it's usually the case with everything, right? There is more to it than just that. And I thank you for that. And I think my audience will really get a lot of value from this conversation. So thank you. Now, if they want to learn more about you and about your company, where should they go?
We have a website. It's not the most beautiful website, but it has a lot of information.
Uh-huh.
My firm is Works in Progress Associates, and the website is www.wpa-works, W-O-R-K-S, like Sam, .com.
Okay.
And they can find us there.
Okay. Now, do you work in your region, or are you nationwide, or how? Where's your reach?
Well, our reach is all of New York. We've done work in New Jersey, and we're also registered as a woman-owned business in Massachusetts. So we'll start there, and then we have plans and dreams for elsewhere.
Okay. But my audience is worldwide.
We travel.
Okay, perfect.
San Francisco. I'm looking to do work in San Francisco. That would be nice also.
I know. Or Bahamas, right? There's a lot of
anytime. Depends on the time of year. We're ready to help.
Okay, Deborah, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Great speaking with you, Caesar.
Thank you.
So that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, you can leave us a rating or a review on iTunes so other people may also find the show. You can also view the show notes for this episode by visiting constructionindustrypodcast.com. I'm Cesar Bade, your construction camera specialist and a project manager for Remontech, where we have been installing cameras for monitoring construction projects since 2002. Please visit us on the web at myconstructioncamera.com. Have a great week.